any claims or damages received from any product advertised within this program. Revolution Radio, where information never sleeps.
This is Jim Fetzer, your host on the Raw Deal. I have, of course, been kind of working toward looking at what happened here in Buffalo, but a fellow named Jordan Sather actually beat me to it. He's got a very nice piece published on my blog. Buffalo shooting these false flags won't false themselves, asking how many flags could the CIA false if the CIA could false flags. I like it. I added a note. Jordan Slather's got it right. One more phony false flag to promote gun control, where this one bears striking similarities to the Christchurch, New Zealand mosque shooting, which were equally like war games in their production values. Check out the New Zealand shootings. Were they real or a political stunt? 7 June 2020 with this unoriginal amateur hour. Notice the absence of blood, nobody screams or evade, cartoon weapon, much, much more. And I've got it on my blog at, jamesfetzer.org, the Christ Church. I've got the link right there so you can watch at Christ Church. And it's strikingly similar, though this is a mini version. The Christ Church one goes on, I don't know, 27 minutes or something. And this is a minute and two. But he's driving around in a car, and he's got a weapon, and it's all painted up, and the shooting is all totally fake. And, it's just unbelievable how often they do this. So it's kind of a pleasure for me to read someone else's critique of what happened here in Buffalo. So I want to share with you and add comments of my own. But I think this guy's pretty smart. I hadn't run across him before, but others have told me he does. He's very much on top of these things, and that he might make a great guest on the show. So I'm going to reach out and see if I can get the guy here with us. As the official story goes, last night a man opened fire at a supermarket in Buffalo, New York, while live streaming on Twitch, killing at least 10, injuring others. He posted an online manifesto in which he described himself as a white supremacist. This situation has all the earmarks of a standard deep state false flag racist shooter, live streaming on social media, questionably written manifesto, symbolism at the scene, calls for gun control, and political timing of the event. I wouldn't be shocked if this shooter happened to be a patsy who was mind-controlled by a shadow government group to carry out this task. Let's take a look at the red flags surrounding the shooting that indicate it could be, I'll tell you, definitely was a planned event. Timing. This is very good. When it comes to deep state false flags, mass shootings included, they always seem to take place when it's most politically convenient for the perpetrators. No doubt them deep staters are looking for any distraction they can get right now. With how many walls are closing in on them, we got Michael Sussman's case as part of Durham's investigation beginning today, the 2000 Mules documentary exposing election fraud en masse, Russia bringing out more allegations of U.S. biolabs in Ukraine, and a whole lot more. To misdirect our attention away from these, we have this mass shooting in New York We have Congress holding its first open hearings in 50 years about UFOs Tuesday, and we'll see what else they try to throw our way in the coming days. Death of prominent deep state asset imminent, our Queen Elizabeth and the Pope Philly. Love it. This guy is very, very good. Point two, the lone white racist shooter. Big surprise. They're telling us this shooter was a crazy white guy who is apparently incredibly racist and anti-Semitic. Weird that he's supposedly super racist when a handful of his shooting victims were white. We don't hear anything about the mass shootings that take place in crime-ridden cities like Chicago, but when an event happens, that's perfect to push agenda with its front page news instantly. Division is the name of the game for our social engineers. Point three, calls for gun control. Another big surprise. The shooter was using an AR-15-style rifle when he carried out the attack, and it took less than 12 hours for major media platforms and corrupt politicians to call for gun control. Goal of good old problem-reaction-solution, a.k.a. the Hegelian dialect. The deep state creates the problem, manufacturing a shooting incident. The public reaction, the predicted intended way among all those mega people are racist and violent. We have to do something about guns. And the pre-planned solution is rolled out to the public. Gun bans, more censorship, media hit pieces against more conspiracy theories questioning the fact happens every time. And not only will this event spur calls for gun control, but since a shooter happened to live stream on a social media platform and posted a written manifesto, maybe his handlers wrote and posted it for him, who knows, big tech will, of course, call for more censorship as well. They usually go after a few birds with one stone when it comes to their false flags. He's got that right, as I shall explain. They got Tucker in their sights. Fourth, another manifesto. It seems to be the new hit thing when a shooter carries out an attack these days. He puts out a manifesto on social media. Our Buffalo shooter released a 180-page manifesto before carrying out his attack yesterday, complete with graphs and charts and statistics and his life story. 180 pages. I'm going to go with he didn't write that for $500, Alex. I wonder what Fed boy or bot was hired to write this for him. In fact, if you look closely, the whole pages of the manifesto from the Buffalo shooter was copy and paste directly from the manifesto of the Christchurch, New Zealand shooter. It's exactly the same. I hope they aren't paying these Fed boys top dollar because they aren't doing a very good job covering their tracks. And what might be the most hilarious part of this scammy festo, the Buffalo shooter claimed to post pictures of himself. Here's a screenshot from the manifesto and pictures he posted. I saw these photos and thought, where have I seen this guy before? I ran a quick image search through Tynai and came to the realize these photos are actually a comedian troll named Sam Hyde. Since 2015, Hyde has been misreported numerous times as a perpetrator of shooting attacks. Whoever wrote this manifesto, whether it was actually the shooter, Fed boys, or someone else, they are clearly trying to troll us with those photos. Do they think we won't pick up on this? I would think they would expect us to, regardless. Something weird is going on with this manifesto. It's almost like it was quickly and hastily put together at the last minute, probably like this whole manufactured shooting. When the deep state buys their false flags from Wish.com. He had symbolism. And what might be the most apparent detail that exposes false flags for what they are, the symbolism surrounding these events will stick out like a sore thumb when you familiarize yourself with what symbols they use and how, why they use them. Whether it's Freemason symbolism, false flags happening on numerologically significant dates, 9-11, 7-7, 3-11, etc., or other symbols plastered around the crime scene, it's a telltale sign that something deeper is going on with the event. One issue with this Buffalo shooting that shows pure contradiction in mainstream media narratives is what they're calling the shooter, is that they're calling the shooter a white supremacist Nazi due to the Black Sun symbolism in his manifesto. The problem here is this order of the Black Sun symbol, which is an actual Nazi symbol dating back to their secret societies of World War II era, is used by the Azov Battalion in Ukraine. The Azov Battalion that Putin is fighting, the actual Ukraine Nazis. The Nazis, the media says, aren't there, aren't a problem. The Nazis, the Biden administration is working a fund with money and support with military equipment. Maybe those rifles the Biden admin is sending, maybe the rifles those the Biden admin is saying to Ukraine will be used in a mass shooting on U.S. soil today. Maybe that's what they want to happen. Very, very interesting. This is good stuff. You can find it on my blog, and because I give you a link, you can also find it on there's more about the symbolism here. Yeah, you can also find the link to the Christ shooting, and you just see, I mean, this is just ridiculous, so fake. Lots of articles. Daily Mail is pretty good in the UK. They usually have lots of photos on these things. Not to be disappointed here, Daily Mail has a goodie. White supremacist 18 denies killing 10 people, including hero ex-cop who tried to stop and says he's arraigned after live streaming mass shooting at Buffalo supermarket in black area with the N-word scrawled on his rifle, right? We don't want anyone to overlook what's going on here. Suspected white supremacist accused of gunning down 10, wounding 3 in a live stream massacre, pled not guilty. Peyton Gendron, 18, of Conklin, New York, barefoot, mask, wearing a paper smock, told the judge he understood the charges and was not guilty. He's only been charged with one count of first-degree murder. A forensic exam has been directed, and he's being held without bail. The DO says they're working with federal authorities to bring further terrorism, hate crime, and murder charges. He made other comments. He lived with his dad, Paul, and mother, Pamela, both of whom are engineers for the New York Transit Authority. Neighbors told that the Gendrons are an unassuming family. News of Peyton's killing had shocked them to the core. Gendron's fragile mental health drew the attention of school officials at the Susquehanna Valley High School in New York State Police after he threatened to shoot one of his schoolmates at graduation. Very troubled young man. He was caught emerging from the Tops friendly supermarket after shooting 13 people in 10. By the way, look how they pick it. Tops friendly supermarket, predominantly in a black area. But he had to drive hours to get there. I mean, how ludicrous is that? How would this guy have even known there was a Tops friendly supermarket in Buffalo when it's 2 hours driving away? I mean, this is just ridiculous on its face. We got, of course, a timeline of how it happens. This is, they're telling us exactly what happens we're supposed to follow. Now, you won't see this, but I'm going to play it and talk about it. As I say, it's only a minute long. But you'll find it in, for example, several of the, well, I've embedded it on my blog at jamesfetzer.org. It's right there. You'll be able to see it. So he's driving in a car, just like Christchurch, driving in a car. The Christchurch thing is much more elaborate. He's coming into the parking lot at Tops. And as I say again, why in the hell would he drive 2 hours to come to this supermarket? You know, you'd think there's something handier locally. Why the hell would he do this? I think it's silly from the beginning. He stops. He gets out. There are three people there. He starts shooting, and they just fall right down. They fall right down. They don't fall back as though they had been impacted. You see, the weapon looks cartoonish. He's shooting, shooting, shooting. It's very much like a video game. This is really very, very similar to what happened in Christchurch. And I've given you the link right there to watch a Christchurch shooting. By the way, if you're in New Zealand, you can get 10 years in jail for having the damn video. I think it's because it was such a joke. It was so ridiculous. We also have a similar event here, shooting someone who's lying on the ground right in the head at virtually point-blank range. But does his head blow apart like a melon? No. You just see a whiff of air. We had exactly the same thing at Christchurch in New Zealand. Really, really ridiculous. So here's another story. Here's another story about it. White nationalist murders cannon shooting at Buffalo grocery store. And here they have an interesting photograph, not of any of the decedents, no blood. And I, by the way, in none of the shooting do you see a speck of blood, nor do you see any ambulance actually show up. And the reason appears to be they won't put real ambulances on stage events because there might be a bona fide need for an ambulance if someone had a heart attack, a stroke, fell off a ladder, who knows what, right? So they won't actually put real resources here. And you got a woman, cop, in the front, in the foreground, holding, guess what, a bottle of water. Now, if you went to Sandy Hook, you'd find out they had huge stacks of bottled water and pizza they were giving out at the firehouse. If you went to Parkland, but bottled water all over the place. Like this is 57-second clip inside a classroom at Parkland where you can see that there's a training dummy with no head and no arms lying on a pool of fake blood. And one of the girls, while they're all doing their best to scream as though they're really alarmed and concerned, is more bothered about her bottled water than anything else. You got this kid pulling his putts, another on her iPhone. You see persons in police uniforms going back and forth, and you think, wow, those Parkland cops are really Johnny on the spot, except Parkland gave up his police force like in 2004. Parkland didn't have any cops. These are just effing actors. You know, I mean, how many times are they going to pull this shit on us? Unbelievable. The suspect, who was not immediately named, was heavily armed and dressed in tactical gear, including body armor. When confronted by police, he put a gun to his neck. They talked him into dropping the gun and surrendering. Yes, very good. Surrendering. Needless to say, the Anti-Defamation League was right on top of this, where Jonathan Greenblatt of the ADL said, while details of the horrific shooting in Buffalo are still emerging, there are already strong indication the individual who allegedly carried out this attack was heavily influenced by white supremacist ideology, including the virulently anti-Semitic and racist Great Replacement Conspiracy Theory. Make no mistake, this is the same hateful anti-Semitic bio that inspired the shooters in Pittsburgh, Poway, El Paso, and Charleston. Well, and the Pittsburgh, Charleston, and El Paso, those were all fake. They were all totally fake, very amateurish. Miles Mathis had a brilliant critique about the Pittsburgh shooting, really good stuff. El Paso, this was where the guy walks in wearing one kind of trowel and walks out wearing another. I guess he figured while he was there at Target, he'd just pick up a new pair of trowel while he's massacring people. Charleston, totally fraudulent. When they picked up the roof guy, they took him out to Burger King for a Whopper. I mean, give me an effing break. They got video at 0800, supposed to be him coming in to shoot the aggregates, which happened at 8 p.m. They apparently don't even understand 24-hour clock. The 0800 was 8 a.m., not 8 p.m. They can't get it right. Meanwhile, you got the Erie County Sheriff declaring, this person was pure evil. It was a straight-up racially motivated hate crime from somebody outside of our community. And again, I say, why in the hell would this guy drive for 2 hours? Meanwhile, we got others. Senate Majority Chuck Schumer. We are standing with the people of Buffalo. We got Jerry Nadler, Chairman of the House Judiciary, said the attack appeared to be the work of a violent white supremacist. We must pass a Domestic Terrorism Prevention Act without delay, he wrote on Twitter. Wow, isn't that interesting? Isn't it wonderful that there's a solution? The Senate Judiciary already has its Domestic Terrorism Prevention Act. They're ready to pass without delay. And it's the first thing on the mind of Jerry Nadler. Shades of Jussie Smollett. Remember now, his whole action appears to have been intended to create political support for an anti-lynching bill that Cory Booker and Kamala Harris, whom I believe to be Jussie's aunt, had that was stalled in the Senate. No one thought it was necessary. So we have this bizarre event going on at 2 a.m. in the morning on a frigid morning where two allegedly redneck racists are carrying a bottle of bleach, where, by the way, because bleach is principally water, it would have been frozen solid and a rope to make a noose. They're just waiting for this black gay actor to come out of a subway at 2 a.m. to be assaulted. I mean, it's so stupid on his face. How dumb are we supposed to be? Pretty dumb. Turned out, of course, these guys were black Nigerian bodybuilders, one of whom was Jussie Smollett's personal trainer. The other was an extra on the set of Empire, where he was an actor. He paid him with a personal check for $3,500. They have videotape of them purchasing these items at a hardware store. I mean, this is as cut and dry as it get. And yet there was a state's attorney, Kim Fox, who just happened to regard Kamala Harris as her mentor, who just dismissed the charges. I mean, this was unbelievably stupid. We got to be smart enough to see through this happy horse shit. Meanwhile, we're getting more. Buffalo suspect embraced race replacement conspiracy push by Tucker Carlson. Wow. The suspect in the fatal shooting of 10 in Buffalo was reportedly haunted in his writing by the great replacement conspiracy theory, a viciously racist view of the world touted by Fox News host Tucker Carlson and other far-right personalities. Well, I'm not a far-right personality, but the idea that Americans are being replaced by people of color by massive immigration, interracial marriage, and eventually violence is not far-fetched or even remotely. My God, they got millions of people pouring across a border. What are they going to do with them? They're taking them all over the country. They're permanently altering the demographics of the United States. There's nothing theoretical about it. And if he's a racist, why'd he shoot any whites at all? They say almost all. The great replacement rhetoric was once considered an extreme right-wing belief, but has edged toward the mainstream with winks from politicians and outright support on right-wing programs, including Tucker's. Just a week ago, he was dubbed in an MSNBC column as the number one champion of the racist ideology. And if you ever wanted a purely ideological network, it's MSNBC, whose viewership, I gather, is down to around 500,000, where even Rachel Maddow, their one-time darling, has been moved from five times a day to once a week. Five times a week to once a week, someone who repeatedly warned of the invasion of illegals and has insisted Biden wants to change the racial mix of the nation. Is there any serious room for doubt about it? They're expecting these people who are going to pour across the border are going to vote Democrat. They want all these young military aides to fill in the military. They're getting rid. They've eviscerated our American military with a vax. Those who were smart enough to represent the threat got the hell out. The others who took the vax are being incapacitated. They're not going to be able to perform a military function in support of the nation should it come to it. They're going to replace them, and they're already training these young military-age migrants to be members of our own U.S. military, because the migrants have one attribute that American soldiers do not. They're willing to fire on American citizens. That's what's going on here. I don't even regard this as a theory. The conspiracy they're claiming here motivated white nationalists who marched in 2017 in Charlottesville, described as very fine people by then-President Trump's, Jews will not replace us, Marchers Canada. I don't recall any Jews will not replace us. And when Trump said very fine people, he said there were very fine people on both sides. This was a protest against the removal of a statue of Robert E. Lee. It was a peaceful protest. Terry McAuliffe, who was in the government, manipulated the situation, bribed the Virginia State Police, had the Charleston City Police stand down so he could direct the crowd into a violent confrontation with Antifa and BLM members who'd been brought in by George Soros, even on the very same bus. And then they had this stage event just blocks away of this car, where it turns out there were actually two different cars, both Dodge Challengers, one with a racing stripe, one with a sunroof, one without, two different drivers. One's supposed to be the 20-year schizophrenic with heavy, thick glasses. The other, a 32-year-old veteran who commands a battalion of reservists in Ohio, who was actually driving the vehicle. And then you had two or three different takes. You had one where the vehicle crashes into the back of two vans that had been parked there prematurely in advance with no drivers, so they wouldn't suffer whiplash, and then backs out with the skill of an NASCAR driver. I was just stunned to watch this guy back out of there, and it was a 32-year-old guy. It wasn't a 20-year-old they put on trial. Then there's another where you see just a car with no vehicles, not crashing into any vehicles. Then we got a third version on the cover of the New York Times where you got a black pickup truck and you got stunt drivers flying through the air. I mean, give me a effing break. This is just embarrassingly bad. And of course, they talk about the motivation in racist mass shootings, the killing of 20 at the El Paso store, fake, killing of 11 at the Tree of Life, fake. Unbelievable. Unbelievable. So, of course, Liz Cheney blames GOP leaders for enabling white racism days after the Buffalo shooters attack. Unbelievably bad. This is such nonsense. I have a few words to say about it when we return, but Liz Cheney, give me a break. She's blaming her own party for enabling hate in the U.S. after a mass shooting where she doesn't know her elbow from her a-hole. It's obvious because this is totally fake as it gets. Just take a look at the video and see if you find any of it remotely convincing. I'll be right back.
Take a moment to thank the listeners and hosts for all their support that has made Revolution Radio one of the biggest platforms for free speech in an ever-growing dark world of censorship. Unfortunately, this platform for free speech has never been free. We need the support of the people. It is the people like you, yes, you, that keeps the station in the front lines of the battle against tyranny and oppression. Please help support Revolution Radio so free speech will not be silenced in a world that seems to be going deaf to the real truth. With your support, we will be able to become an even bigger pillar of light in a dark world.
Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported radio station on the planet. Revolution Radio,
Hey everyone, it's Barbara Jean Lindsay, the Cosmic Oracle. If you have questions about your past lives or future plans, need answers from the cosmos about your love life or career, or just want to keep your finger on the pulse of the planet, check out my show, The Cosmic Oracle, here on Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com.
Amazon banned my book so you wouldn't learn what really happened at Sandy Hook. It was a FEMA drill presented as mass murder to promote gun control. Then they sued to shut me up, and the Wisconsin courts played along. I have the proof and the law on my side. What I don't have is the money. They want to do to us what they've already done to Canada. Take guns, impose tyranny. It's on the way with Remington's help. First insurance, then registration, then confiscation. I'm asking SCOTUS to stop it. GiveSendGo.com, funding Fetzer. Check it out. This is for all the marbles.
Was it a conspiracy? Did you know that the police in Boston were broadcasting, "This is a drill, this is a drill," on bullhorns during the marathon? That the Boston Globe was tweeting that a demonstration bomb would be set off during the marathon for the benefit of bomb squad activities? And that one would be set off in 1 minute in front of the library, which happened as the Globe had announced. Peering through the smoke, you could see bodies with missing arms and legs. But there was no blood. The blood only showed up later and came out of a tube. They used amputee actors and a studio-quality smoke machine. Don't let yourself be played. Check out And Nobody Died in Boston Either. Available at moonrockbooks.com. That's moonrockbooks.com.
Join Revolution Radio every Wednesday, 8 p.m. Eastern Time on Studio B for Momentary Zen with host Zen Garcia at freedomslips.com, the People Station.
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or affiliates.
You're listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
If you want to know why I regard Liz Cheney as, scraping the bottom of the bucket, it's really ridiculous. Here's what she took to Twitter to call out her fellow Republicans. The House GOP leadership has enabled white nationalism, white supremacy, and anti-Semitism. History has taught us that what begins with words ends in far worse. That GOP leaders must renounce and reject these views and those who hold them. But who the hell has made this up in the first place? Because ordinary Americans support Donald Trump. They're being made out to be white nationalists. Well, they do believe in the American nation. They do believe in putting America first. So if that makes you a white nationalist, then I would gladly plead guilty. White supremacy? No. I have no friends who believe whites are superior to others, even to others who are they're supposed to be superior to, whether they're blacks or Latinos. I regard blacks and Latinos as of equal moral worth as every other human being on planet Earth. Anti-Semitism, if you want to know who regards themselves as superior, it's the Jews, a Jewish superiority theory. It's not white superiority, and I don't mean this to encompass every Jew. I'm talking about those who believe in the the Talmudic version of Judaism, which goes all the way back to Babylon, which espouses that the Jews are the superior race and all the other races only exist to serve the Jews. Why don't we hear anything about Jewish superiority? We hear about white superiority, which is basically a myth. They try to cast that off on Hitler now. I'll grant you that he certainly thought that the German people were a people of high quality and excellent. But the problems he had with the Jews, as I understand it, was more economic, that they were undermining the financial system of Germany through their control of the financial system, which appears, again, others more expert than I would tell you, has been a problem in many other countries, that there's a history of Jews being expelled from other nations because they took over the financial system to their own benefit and the detriment of the nation. Now, if someone wants to come on and debate with me and tell me that I'm wrong about that, I'm open to it. I don't claim to have the expertise on that issue as I would claim to have on many others, like 9/11, JFK, Sandy Hook, and a whole lot of other significant issues. But I'm very open-minded if someone wants to come on and debate. Now, I'm not saying Hitler got a bad rap. He actually, from everything I can tell, doing interviews over the years with persons who are extremely knowledgeable, as I am not, about World War One and the Treaty of Versailles and the adverse impositions upon Germany, that led to a financial catastrophe that promoted Hitler's rise because he had an economic plan for Germany, which included, by the way, securing the borders. Securing the borders. And as I recall, getting rid of, the banking system that employs compound banking. JFK wanted to do that, and we all know what happened to him. That was one of many reasons. But he thought it was absurd that the government should be paying interest for a consortium of private bankers to print the currency of the United States at interest, when the United States Treasury could perfectly well print the currency of the United States at no interest, and where those who follow these matters realize most of the national debt is compound interest on the interest owed to the Fed for printing our currency. I mean, it's an absurd situation. There's even been the observation made, did not originate with me, that compound interest may be the greatest evil ever contrived by the hand of man. Well, I can think of others, but that's a pretty good candidate. Meanwhile, we have the absurdity of Cheney not specifying exactly what she means by all this, but certainly, cascading the idea of the great replacement theory. But is she looking at the statistics? How many illegals are coming across the border? What's happening to the birth rate of whites? It's being dramatically reduced, the birth rate of these illegals who aren't being given the vax. And you can see that one of the reasons is because they're going to be very fertile and they're going to reproduce lots of kids. The whites are being given the vax. They're not going to produce any more. Even Adam Kinzinger, another brainless twit, who along with Cheney, one of two Republicans on the January 6th commission, let's put the stupidest, the dumbest, the most biased on that commission, also accused a woman, Stefanik, who the House Republican Conference Chair, Elise Stefanik from New York, was described by the Washington Post as echoing the great racist replacement theory. Kissinger also accused her of promoting the theory in a Saturday tweet. Stefanik, who took Cheney's spot as number three, so of course she's got an axe to grind, pushed back against the accusation, sharing a statement. Any implication or attempt to blame the heinous shooting in Buffalo on the congresswoman is a new disgusting low for the left. They're never Trump allies and the psychophantic stenographers in the media. The shooting was an act of evil and the criminal should be prosecuted to the fullest extent of the law. Despite sickening and false reporting, Congresswoman Stefanik has never advocated for any racist position or made a racist statement. I have no doubt that's true. Well, guess what? Confirmed. Buffalo Killer wasn't conservative, also despised false news, Greg Gutfeld, Ben Shapiro, Rupert Murdoch. After a self-identified white supremacist allegedly shot up a New York grocery store, many news outlets and left-leaning Twitter users went wild trying to pin the blame on Fox News, Tucker Carlson, Ben Shapiro, Greg Gutfeld, and others on the right. But it's now revealed the suspect openly hated all the conservatives the media want to blame as having motivated his crime. On Saturday, a man police have identified as Peyton Gundon, 18, of Conklin, New York, who allegedly committed the crime, carried a helmet cam on his head, reportedly began streaming the shooting live, which contradicts any claims that it's real because it's so obviously fake with no blood, only air blasts, people immediately falling down, no screams, no signs, just dropping down. They're not falling back because of the impact of the bullet. They're falling forward in ways that cushion themselves. It's just ridiculous. Authorities did not speculate on the motive for the crime, but leftists in the media and on Twitter immediately blamed conservative TV personalities. Now think, why would they do that? Well, Tucker Carlson has the most popular show in cable television by far. He got Joe Lockhart, who, by the way, used to work for Barack Obama. Listen to what Joe has to say, and you can know, you can understand. This is with the approval of Barack. Now get it. Barack Obama legitimated all these phony staged events by the Smith Modernization Act of 2012, just in time for Sandy Hook. The Smith Act of 1948 precluded the use of the same techniques of disinformation, propaganda, paid riots, staged events, and all that from being used inside the United States. In other words, the Smith Act let that happen abroad, meaning the CIA has been staging all kinds of horrible shit abroad that was all phony and fake in order to manipulate governments. And, of course, they go as far as assassination. It was not permissible in the United States until Barack Obama decided it was a good idea and brought the Smith Modernization Act just in time for Sandy Hook. So Joe Lockhart, you know, is speaking for Barack Obama, who loves all this stuff, wants to manipulate the people as though they are sheep. And, of course, they're mostly showing themselves to be sheep, that they can't think these things through. But it's reaching a point of absurdity. Even a third grader could figure out this Buffalo shooting is fake. There's no blood. The head doesn't blow apart. It looks like he's putting out a blast of air. A blast of air. Nothing about it is real. Here's Joe Lockhart's tweet. More blood on the hands of Tucker Carlson and Fox News. This killer used their racist talking points to justify killing 10 people. Tucker won't stop because, as he explained to the New York Times, it's good for ratings. Lies be damned. As Carlson will be at Judgment Day. This is ridiculous. I watch Tucker all the time. Tucker's the only show, in my opinion, worth watching on a regular basis. Tucker is good. He cuts through the smoke and mirrors. He slices and dices the bullshit. They don't want that. So, of course, they're going to target Tucker. He's the one who's exposing all the fraud and chicanery taking place by the Democrats. Another blue check Twitter user, Georgetown professor Don Moynihan, also blamed Tucker, despite the fact he had no evidence whatsoever that the suspect was a Carson fan. Don Moynihan tweets, "The gunman who killed at least 10 people in Buffalo, and I guarantee you didn't kill any, nobody died there, it was just staged, just fake. These are indeed crisis actors. No doubt well paid. The way they fell, the whole thing was phony, fake. No even effort to evade the shooter." I mean, it's just ridiculous. Is a self-described white supremacist who advocates for the great replacement theory. He left a manifesto. See if you can tell the difference between it and standard fare on the Tucker Carlson Show. I mean, that's just garbage. Here's Brooklyn Dad, defiant, tweeting. Tucker Carlson frequently pushes the white replacement theory that the Buffalo mass murderer cited in his manifesto. Carlson and Fox News have blood on their hands. This is just ridiculous. These leftists who jumped to blame Fox and Tucker did not bother to follow up on the facts of the case. Look at the accused killer's extensive social media posts showing he's not in any way conservative. His manifesto doesn't mention Fox or Tucker at all. In parts of the manifesto, he claims he's an authoritarian left-winger who hates Christianity and is interested in green nationalism. This guy sounds like a progressive, like a fan of the squad. He probably has a photograph of AOC up on his wall. Here's Chernovitz tweeting. The manifesto of the terrorist who killed people today contains the following. He did a chart of Jewish people that included me under a troll Jew, rejection of Christianity, and admission. He is an authoritarian left-winger, hybrid Nazi, and green nationalist. I mean, give us a break. Others pointed out the manifesto, which Big Tech is now blocking because it contradicts the official narrative, had absolutely no ties to conservative thinking or Republican Party policies. Here's comfortably smug tweeting. The killer's manifesto attacks Fox News, but feel free to continue exploiting people being murdered for some likes and retweets. I mean, this is just disgusting. Former Obama press secretary Joe Lockhart, for example, jumped to his Twitter account to claim Tucker and Fox have more blood on their hands, as we know. Just unbelievable. More blood on the hands of Tucker Carlson and Fox News. This killer used their racist talking points to justify killing 10 people. Carlson won't stop because, as he explained to the New York Times, it's good for ratings. I realize there's a repetition here. Lives be damned. He wrote on May 14th, less than half an hour after the shooting was reported. Okay, think about that. Less than half an hour after the shooting was reported, he was making this political smear against Tucker. And he even put out a photograph of a whole bunch of those that he wants to trash. Absolutely unbelievable. Disgusting and insane that Democrat operatives are already exploiting the murder of 10 by blaming Tucker Carlson and Fox News. This is from Mike Davis. The manifesto cites the internet, specific websites, as his inspiration, not TV, and as an anti-Semitic meme attacking Fox. Here's another, Jessica O'Donnell. The 180-page manifesto left by the shooter shows zero Tucker Carlson, or Carlson mentioned. They're not there. The document is sick, and the shooter claims to be an authoritarian leftist. An authoritarian leftist. And here's a photo of our boy, Peyton Gendron, claiming he's an authoritarian left-winger, hates Christianity, and is interested in green nationalism. From the accused killer's own rantings, it's evident he is not a conservative. Nothing in his social media can lead him to believe he was influenced by the right. Conservatives believe in individual freedom, equal treatment under the law in the U.S. Constitution. According to his social media, this suspect did not believe in any of those. While being a fan of Fox, Tucker Carlson, John Stossel, Ben Shapiro, and other high-profile libertarian and conservative personalities is not necessarily a litmus test for being a conservative. It's telling the suspect in this horrible crime hated these folks and did not use them as a foundation for this shooting. Now, there you're getting the rest of the story. Absolutely stunning. Now, development I find more than mildly disconcerting. Mitch McConnell is endorsing the idea that Finland and Sweden should belong to NATO. Senate Republican leader Mitch McConnell said Sunday Finland and Sweden would be important additions to NATO as he led a delegation of GOP senators into the region in a show of support against Russian aggression. He called on President Biden to designate Russia as a state sponsor of terrorism over its invasion of Ukraine, which has a lot of legal ramification. Let me just say, I used to think Mitch McConnell was a real savvy guy. This shows to me he's an instrument of the deep state and of the military-industrial complex. These are completely irresponsible advisories coming from McConnell. I don't like it, and it very much disillusions me about Mitch McConnell. They will be important additions to NATO if they choose to join. I think the U.S. ought to be the first in line to ratify the treaty for both of them to join. McConnell's a longtime NATO supporter. His trip to the Nordic nations with Republican Senator Susan Collins of Maine, John Barrasso of Wyoming, and John Cornyn of Texas follows their surprise stop Saturday in Ukraine's capital to express solidarity in the fight against the Kremlin. McConnell was in Sweden while leading diplomats from the 30 NATO member states to discuss providing more support to Ukraine and moves by Finland, Sweden, and others to join NATO. Let me just mention, Sweden, Finland, and Switzerland have all benefited immensely from their neutrality, from not having joined NATO. They can virtually get away without having to fund a national defense. They don't have to have an army. Switzerland wouldn't even have a navy. But the fact of the matter is they have benefited immensely by remaining neutral. Now, if they join NATO, they're not only going to have to shoulder expenses for their national defense, which otherwise would have been completely unnecessary. They're going to now find themselves targeted by Russian missiles, nuclear missiles that would otherwise have been completely unwarranted, but they're making themselves co-belligerents in effect, where Russia's primary concern all along has been since the dissolution of the Soviet Union in 1991. But when negotiation between Ronald Reagan and Mikhail Gorbachev took place, negotiated by someone I happen to know personally, with the assurances from Secretary of State Baker that the West would not encroach one inch to the east, there were at the time 14 NATO nations, now they are 30. Where do you think they came from? You think that was from encroaching to the West? No, it's from the West showing it's just a bald-faced liar that no one can believe any damn thing that the West has to say. This is truly disgusting. Several hours after Finland's announcement it would seek to join NATO, Sweden's governing party endorsed becoming an alliance member. The office of Finland's president said the American lawmakers will meet with the president to discuss Finland's NATO membership. But NATO member Turkey is not favorable toward these two additions. Turkish President Recep Erdogan said Friday, complicating the move to bolster the alliance as a deterrent to Russia. It can only happen if there's unanimity among the present NATO nations. The high-level meeting comes as Congress is working to approve another $40 billion for Ukraine. Where's the money for Americans? Why are we so concerned about Ukraine's borders when we don't give a damn about our own? This is just disgusting. McConnell said it's in America's interest to support Ukraine, brushing aside criticism from fellow Republicans, including former President Trump, about the level of spending. It's a reemergence of the isolationist America First approach to foreign policy by a faction of the Republican Party, except it was never isolationist. It was non-interventionist. This is a case where we're not splitting hairs. We're talking about a terribly important distinction. What we have had from the United States is active intervention in other affairs of other nations. That was part of what the Smith-Mundt Act was allowing to take place, though the same techniques of intervening in other nations' affairs abroad were not to be imported into the United States until Barack Obama decided it would be good to play the American people with a lot of phony stage events, just as foreign nationals had been played by phony staged events. He thought it was a good thing, and we've been suffering the consequences, not just Sandy Hook, but the Boston bombing, Orlando and Dallas, Charlottesville, Parkland, Las Vegas, all phony, all completely fraudulent. I have whole books on most of these. I bring together the best experts, and we publish the outcome. We know what the hell happened there, and it was totally different than the mainstream narrative. Just disgusting. And yet, if you persist in challenging the mainstream narrative, you can be squashed, even in courts of law, if they are as perverse as the state of Wisconsin, by virtue of giving judges latitude to determine what facts are and are not reasonable and essentially become allies of the movement or the plaintiff in a case such as the one brought against me. We're going to hear much more about it. My petition for a writ of certiorari to the U.S. Supreme Court is en route as we speak and will be delivered, God willing, as the expression has it, tomorrow morning at the United States Supreme Court. And Wednesday, I'll give you a complete briefing of what has turned out to be the crucial issue. It wasn't actually the First or the Second Amendment, even. It turns out to have been the 7th and the 14th. I think you're going to like what I'm going to explain. It was a dissection of the judicial process here in the state of Wisconsin, which is divergent from that in other states of the union, where this could not have happened had I been, for example, resident of Texas instead, which may indeed explain why they were happy to sue me right here in Madison, Wisconsin, because they knew the way in which summary judgment are set up in Wisconsin would give them a massive advantage and enable them to suppress all of my evidence. You will see. You will learn more. McConnell said he told Zelensky there's vast bipartisan support in Congress for helping Ukraine. Why isn't there vast bipartisan support for helping America? I don't get it. That's the U.S. Congress. They have vast bipartisan support for helping Ukraine. When the hell are they going to get around to U.S. citizens? When are they going to help us? When are they going to close a border? When are they going to stop this mass migration? When are they going to take other actions that benefit the American people instead of these foreigners in distant lands in what may well be the most corrupt nation in the entire world, Ukraine? Where Nancy Pelosi has a son who works there. John Kerry has a son who works there. Mitt Romney has a son who works there. And most striking of all, Joe Biden has a son who works there. I mean, this is disgusting. The corruption is unbelievable. So, we'll be right back.
Was it a conspiracy? Did you know that the police in Boston were broadcasting, "This is a drill, this is a drill," on bullhorns during the marathon? That the Boston Globe was tweeting that a demonstration bomb would be set off during the marathon for the benefit of bomb squad activities? And that one would be set off in 1 minute in front of the library, which happened as the Globe had announced. Peering through the smoke, you could see bodies with missing arms and legs, but there was no blood. The blood only showed up later and came out of a tube. They used amputee actors and a studio-quality smoke machine. Don't let yourself be played. Check out "And Nobody Died in Boston Either," available at moonrockbooks.com. That's moonrockbooks.com.
And we must fight back! torture us and bomb us, fire is catching. And if we burn, you burn with us.
Good evening.
Are you awake yet? I hope. We've tried and we've tried for years and years to use passive resistance and loud voices to make a change. But time is over. Your governments around the world have no other goal than to decimate your entire existence. At the hands of the bankers and the elites. The war is coming, and it's your choice to decide if you want to be a warrior or a victim. Denial is not a choice anymore. Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported radio station on the planet. Not giving up. Revolution Radio.
Amazon banned my book so you wouldn't learn what really happened at Sandy Hook. It was a FEMA drill presented as mass murder to promote gun control. Then they sued to shut me up, and the Wisconsin courts played along. I have the proof and the law on my side. What I don't have is the money. They want to do to us what they've already done to Canada. Take guns, impose tyranny. It's on the way with Remington's help. First insurance, then registration, then confiscation. I'm asking SCOTUS to stop it. GiveSendGo.com, funding Fetzer. Check it out. This is for all the marbles.
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or affiliates.
You're listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
Very bad. All NATO countries, including Turkey, agree to admit Finland and Sweden, according to the Italian foreign minister, Rome. All NATO countries, including Turkey, agree to admit Sweden and Finland. Italian foreign minister Luigi Di Maio said on Sunday. In my opinion, that's very bad news for Sweden and Finland. I mean, this is colossal stupidity. So what happened here? I mean, they're going to have to delegate now a segment of their GNP to military affairs, to national defense, to supporting NATO. They're going to have to maintain NATO bases. They're going to be targets of Russian retaliation. They're putting at risk their nations. That was completely unnecessary and needless. So what the F is going on here? Well, we may have the answer from Paul Craig Roberts, whom I've long regarded as our nation's leading public intellectual. The Kremlin never learns. Dated May 15th, yesterday. The Kremlin's weak responses to provocations continue to encourage the West to bring Russia more and more dangerous provocations. It is irresponsible for Washington and Washington's NATO puppet state to provoke Russia. But seeing weakness in the Kremlin, it's hard for the West to restrain itself. The West now dismisses Russian threats as bluster. Consequently, the West has moved from provocation to aggression. With arms shipments and diplomatic support, the West has become a de facto combatant allied with Ukraine against Russia. The Kremlin is now faced with a much enlarged frontier with NATO. From the prospect of Finland with its long border with Russia and nearness to St. Petersburg joining NATO. Finland is under no danger of Russian attack as matters stand, but will be if Finland joins NATO. Joining NATO means Finland will be nuclear targeted, which currently the country is not. It is obvious that Finland's security deteriorates if Finland joins NATO. So why join? The most obvious answer is that Washington is paying the Finnish leaders to add to the pressure on the Kremlin by joining NATO. I have good reason to believe this. Years ago, I was in the Pentagon in the office of a very high official being offered an important appointment. I used the opportunity to ask a question about something that had long puzzled me. How, I asked, does Washington manage to get foreign governments to support Washington's interests at the expense of their own countries? Money, the high Pentagon official said. You mean foreign aid? I said, no, the official said. We give the political leaders bags full of money. We own them. They report to us. What else explains Finland and Sweden's interest after so many years of neutrality and joining NATO, but bagfuls of money paid to the Finnish and Swedish leaders? Neither country is in danger of attack from Russia. How many U.S. dollars did it require for the leaders of these countries to decide to sell out their countries for filthy lucre? The sellout goes further than Finland and Sweden. If these bought and paid for governments join NATO, they will have also sold out the entire Western world. This would make it clear to even the Russian liberals, who handicap Russia's existence as a sovereign nation, that the Western world intends to do what the American neoconservatives declare to be the principal goal of U.S. foreign policy, to prevent the emergence of a rival that has sufficient power to constrain U.S. hegemony, meaning U.S. dominance over the world. Why, after three decades of this doctrine being declared as a principal goal of U.S. foreign policy, has the Kremlin failed to understand it? At this point, even the liberals in the Kremlin should comprehend that the Western world is a permanent enemy more dangerous than the Third Reich. When the Russian liberals are forced to confront this fact, will they still be willing to trade Russian sovereignty for acceptance by the West? The Russian government is a very strange government. For years, the Kremlin tolerated oligarchs from the Yeltsin era who stole Russian assets. Today, the Russian government continues to provide its deadly enemies with energy and strategic minerals so that they can conduct their war against Russia. The director of the Russian Central Bank left the central bank's reserves on an unguarded shelf where the West could steal them. Putin still has an office. Someone set up the oligarch system that tied Russia to a subservient role, still has in office some who set up the oligarch system that tied Russia in a subservient role to Western financial capital. The Kremlin cut its own throat in order to prove how democratic it is. Little wonder that the Russian government failed to convince the West that provoking Russia means death and destruction for those who provoke. This strategic failure of the Kremlin means the ever-worsening provocations are destined to push Russia's back to the wall at that point. The nukes will go off. The utter and total stupidity of the human race makes one wonder why God gave dominance over the earth to mankind, the least intelligent of the species. Wow. And in case you're unaware, Russia has put to sea all of its submarines in the Black Sea. They have put to sea all of their submarines, each of which carries four missiles, no doubt with multiple warheads, and this, in my opinion, as a former Marine Corps officer, is a sign that Russia is preparing for all-out war. I wish I could tell you different, but that's how I see it. This is my reading. There are many excellent commentators out there who may offer alternative views. Pepe Escobar is a good one. The Saker is another. Do search. Global Research is a very good source. See what you conclude. And, of course, this is something we can also discuss and debate during the call-in session after the break, where I have now restored access. I'll be able to hear you. We'll be able to have a conversation, and I don't know exactly why. Last time around, I couldn't connect. Meanwhile, and I think it's part of why they're staging these fake attacks in the United States, Russia could strike back at the West by calling on its network of white supremacist groups to commit terror attacks there, analysts warn. Have you ever heard of any Russian white supremacist groups in the United States? I mean, that's just incredible. They're just making this shit up out of whole cloth, white supremacist groups. Its network. Russia could strike back by calling on its network of white supremacist groups. This is just idiocy. A steady supply of Western weapons has enabled Ukraine's outnumbered military to hold back Russian forces and inflict thousands of casualties. That's propaganda. Russia's been systematically annihilating the armed forces of the Ukraine. Experts are increasingly concerned that as Russia's invasion stalls, which it is not, the Kremlin could choose to retaliate against the West, not just through economic and diplomatic means, but by inciting violent attacks at the heart of the NATO alliance. A tool it would seek to exploit is a network of neo-Nazi and white supremacist groups in Russia, Western Europe, and the U.S., with which it has cultivated ties for decades. Do you have any idea how stupid that is, that Russia would engage and collaborate with neo-Nazis? My God, they've gone into Ukraine to clean out the neo-Nazis. They fought a World War II against the Nazis. The Russians are the most anti-Nazi group in the world. America is far more sympathetic to Nazis than Russians. I mean, this is just colossal stupidity. Don't let yourself be played. This article continues. They've done that before in much of Europe. I would not be surprised if they're doing that today, trying to get their intelligence services at the right moment to get these groups agitated, said Chris Chavez, who serves as a National Security Council's intelligence officer for Europe from 2018 to 2021. I'll tell you right now, he's an intel agent and a propagandist, and he's shoveling shit. He warned of a likely effort to stir political unrest, political violence, and get these groups agitated to achieve political effects in countries in Europe and possibly the United States. Just silly, stupid, rubbish. The Kremlin has sought to portray the Ukrainian invasion as a bid to denazify the country, which it is. Read Vladimir Putin's statement from February 24th, the day he launched the incursion. It's on my blog under the heading where he so aptly described the West as an empire of lies. And what we're getting here are more lies. Analysts say his forces are fighting alongside groups who openly espouse neo-Nazi and white supremacist ideology, exposing the hollowness of Russian President Putin's propaganda. This is just absolute shit. The groups have extensive ties to far-right extremists across the West, as well as deep connection with Russia's military and intelligence services. I don't know who's dumb enough to believe this, but you can see where they're going with this and why they're going to bolster their attempt to go for domestic terrorists who are supposed to be tied into the Russians, where white supremacism is supposed to be the unifying concept. They could offer the Kremlin a potential route for inflicting violence and chaos in Western nations, providing key diplomatic and military support to Ukraine while maintaining plausible deniability. Well, it's because of plausible deniability. They aren't doing anything like this, not even remotely. They are, what they're doing is the antithesis. One such threat is the Wagner Group, a mercenary force that has previously been deployed as Kremlin proxy in conflicts in Syria, Libya, and Mali. Its fighters have been linked to a string of atrocities in Ukraine, with German intelligence saying they were involved in the massacre of civilians in Bucha during the Russian occupation of the Kiev suburb in March. Well, we've talked about Bucha. The Russians had left. The Russians were there. They were very supportive of the civilians. They were giving them food. They were supporting them. The atrocities occurred after they left and the Azov battalion arrived. This is just utter bullshit. Utter bullshit. This is so insulting. The group makes no secret of its espousal of Nazi ideology, with its leader, Dmitry Utkin, having been photographed with Nazi insignia tattoos and its fighters decorating their vehicles with neo-Nazi runic symbols, according to a report by the Italian think tank Respublica. Hey, the Azov Battalion wears Nazi banners, emblems, right on their uniforms. The Azov Battalion of Ukraine. This isn't Russian. The Nazis are the Ukrainians. This is just sickening. The Reich, a Wagner affiliate deployed in Ukraine, also openly flaunts its ties with neo-Nazism, using a Slavic version of the Nazi swastika as its symbol. I tell you, the Azov Battalion openly wears Nazi symbols. The Russians are as anti-Nazi as they get. They suffered. They lost 20 million Russians to the Nazis. You think they're going to collaborate with the Nazis? This is just stupid beyond belief. They think that Americans are complete idiots. Complete idiots. Anyone who would believe this nonsense is so massively ignorant of history and what's going on geopolitics. It's embarrassing. Colin Clark, the director of research for the Sufan Group, you can bet that's another CIA entity, told Insider the Kremlin could deploy fighters from Wagner to commit terror attacks in the West or commission fighters to encourage contacts in the West to commit violence on its behalf. The Russians send their own guys into Europe to whack people, he said, referencing assassinations and attempted assassination in countries including the UK and Germany. Western officials have linked to Russian security services. These are virtually all carried out by MI6 and the CIA. I mean, you know, it's a mini kind of false flag. You take out someone who's supposed to be a critic of Russia and you blame it on Russia to demonize Russia when it's actually MI6 who's doing the job. I don't think anything's beyond the pale for Putin. It's just a matter of, does this make sense tactically? Or if you think about how much terrorism resonates, the psychological impact if that stuff starts happening, I think it's a whole other dimension to this conflict, he said, of the possible effects of a Russian-instigated terror attack in the West. Complete crap. Complete crap. Complete crap. But Jason Blackitness, an expert on terrorism at the Middlebury Institute, was skeptical that Russia would deploy fighters to commit direct attacks, saying it would mark a serious escalation in Russia's confrontation with NATO allies. But look how well it plays into the hysterical Democrat agenda. Get this. Further evidence. Woke think tank spent 6 months coming up with the name Ultra Mega, a slur Biden is now using to target the GOP, even though former spokeswoman Jen Psaki claims the president created it himself. But it appears to be backfiring. Biden's new catchphrase, Ultra Mega, was dreamt by a woke think tank who spent 6 months coining the phrase, despite claims the president himself came up with it. Well, it's silly anyway. 6 months, yeah, how much taxpayer money? I'll bet they got half a million bucks for coming up with Ultra Mega. The revelation, first reported by the Washington Post, contradicts claims from ex-press secretary Jen Psaki that the president came up with a phrase which reportedly was a culmination of a campaign to find ways to target Republican voters. According to the Post, Staffers at the Liberal Center for American Progress Action Fund toiled for 6 months to find ways to gain a foothold in the November elections, with the now often uttered phrase being the culmination of every time. If that's it, it's pathetic. It's pathetic. It's pathetic. Every time you mention Ultra Mega, you'd mention Mega. And Mega was a golden age in recent history of the United States. Everyone longs for the Mega era. So this is just incredibly stupid. The phrase, a reference to former President Trump's Make America Great Again campaign slogan, was first uttered by Biden last week during a speech in which he panned the GOP and what he called radical positions from Republican candidates. The Republicans aren't radical, for God's sake. This is stupid. Outlining a plan to tackle the worst inflation in 40 years, Biden attacked his opponent's alternative, saying the other path is the ultra-mega plan put forward by congressional Republicans to raise taxes on working families, where he wants to raise taxes on the rich. He also dismissed Florida Senator Rick Stock as having an ultra-mega agenda. He since repeated the remark during appearances. This is clearly orchestrated. Psaki claimed it was the president's phrase, even saying he came up with the ultra epithet for a little extra pop. How much nonsense. Everything coming from the words of these Democrats is bullshit. Every single goddamn word. That sparked recollections of Hillary Clinton's infamous 2016 remark dismissing election rival Donald Trump supporters as a basket of deplorables. Yes. We know how well that went over. Merchandise bearing the phrase Ultra Mega has also been put into production, meaning GOP members can now buy T-shirts or hats with a slogan. I mean, they love it. They love it. Hillary's utterance saw her dismissed as snobbish and out of touch. Deplorable became a term of affection among the right-wing Trump supporters. Her utterance is even credit with helping her lose what appeared to be a dead cert White House run. Ultra Mega was devised thanks to polling from Heart Research, claiming the phrase mega was negatively viewed by centrist American voters who aren't tied to the Democrats or Republicans. But that would be a tiny, tiny group. They also discovered the word mega was viewed more negatively by swing voters and other alternatives, such as Trump Republicans. Meaning the phrase. Both discovered in battleground areas twice as many voters said they'd be less likely to opt for a candidate calling themselves a mega Republican than more likely. In other words, it had a mild negative. But the phrase mega, according to the research polling, was supposed to be associated with perceptions of the GOP as being more extreme and power hungry. Since, I don't know, 106, that's a mistype, 2016, I got to guess. It said, however, conservatives are unimpressed. It shows further evidence how out of touch the Democrat Party remains with many American voters. And I'm looking at Republicans are so enamored with the new catchphrase, they're already taking and printing it on T-shirts and baseball caps, ultra mega. This is going to become huge. Ex-Trump aide Stephen Miller tweeted, maybe it would have been better if Democrats had spent those 6 months preventing American children from going hungry because we're out of formula. And journalist Drew Holden wrote, if this took Biden 6 months, it's no surprise that the Afghan withdrawal went as badly as it did. Unbelievable. Meanwhile, Psaki's last press conference was chaotic. Just unbelievable. Even Jeff Bezos, by the way, is taking exception to the newly created disinformation governance board. He tweeted, the newly created disinformation board should review this tweet. The tweet said, want to bring down inflation? Let's make sure the wealthiest corporation pay their fair share. And, of course, the wealthiest corporation by far is Amazon.com. Or Jeff Bezos as a chief executive officer. Or maybe they need to form a new non-sequitur board instead. Raising corporate taxes is fine to discuss. Taming inflation is critical to discuss. Mushing them together is just misdirection. I think he's got it absolutely right. And, of course, there's much going on here. There's a very interesting piece about the 1,000-year progressive rise you can find on my blog. Here are some thoughts about it by Todd Gregory and Eric Gregory. In the movie Jaws, the Roy Schneider character, Chief Brody, famously declares, "We're going to need a bigger boat." With today's Democrat Party, they're going to need a much bigger clown car. Democrat thought leaders, influencers, politicos, and voters all speak the same progressive patio: sustainability, equity, intersectionality, cultural appropriation, white fragility, and, of course, racism. United in knee-jerk conformity, they have all mastered the vernacular of victimhood and meaningless platitudes. Bumper sticker slogans abound in yard signs. Science is real. Love is love. Loudly proclaim Democrat voters cheap moral virtue and confirm their mindless banality. It would be like that former MSNBC zealot Keith Olbermann, perhaps the worst person in the world, according to the Gregorys, hooking up with Charles Manson to sing "We Are Family," or maybe just hooking up or practicing a pansexual tweaking routine or something. Lost in a counterfactual wilderness of lives, the progressive folk always have their parties in a bunch. On a given day, they just know that Mike Lindell and his pillows represent a direct threat to global democracy. Completely brilliant piece. Completely brilliant piece. Find it on my blog at jamesfetzer.org. Meanwhile, as Mitchell tweets, "Let's go, Brandon. Let's go, Brandon." You can call in now. I do have access. Last show, for some reason, I couldn't connect, but I can hear everything now. The breaks, I'll be able to hear you when you call in. 540-352-4452. 540-352-4452. Mitchell will field your call, get you on the air. Here's more from this wonderful article about the 1,000-year progressive right. If Oracle co-founder and second-tier billionaire Larry Ellison donates a few million dollars for a conservative cause, that's illegitimate dark money and progressives are aghast. But if billionaire George Soros gives tens of billions to far-left propaganda causes, that's not dark money, that's philanthropy. Brilliant piece. See you on the other side of the break.
Please leave your message for 281-839-8471.
Radio at freedomslips.com, and we'll be right back after this message.
Management would
please
like to
leave
take
your
a
message
moment
for 281-839-8471.
One of the biggest platforms for free speech in an ever-growing dark world of censorship. Unfortunately, this platform for free speech has never been free. We need the support of the people. It is the people like you, yes, you, that keeps the station in the front lines of the battle against tyranny and oppression. Please help support Revolution Radio so free speech will not be silenced in a world that seems to be going deaf to the real truth. With your support, we will be able to become an even bigger pillar of light in a dark world.
Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported radio station on the planet. Revolution Radio.
Oh,
join Revolution Radio every Wednesday, 8 p.m. Eastern Time on Studio B for Momentary Zen with host Zen Garcia at freedomslips.com, the People Station.
Even the government admits that 9/11 was a conspiracy. But did you know that it was an inside job, that Osama had nothing to do with it? That the Twin Towers were blown apart by a sophisticated arrangement of mini or micro nukes? That Building 7 collapsed 7 hours later because of explosives planted in the building? Barry Jennings was there. He heard them go off and felt himself stepping over dead people. The U.S. Geological Survey conducted studies of dust gathered from 35 locations in Lower Manhattan and found elements that would not have been there had this not been a nuclear event. Ironically, that means the government's own evidence contradicts the government's official position. 9/11 was brought to us compliments of the CIA, the neocons of the Department of Defense, and the Mossad. Don't let yourself be played. Read America Nuked on 9/11. Available at moonrockbooks.com. That's moonrockbooks.com.
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or affiliates.
You're listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
I can't believe how awful it is. The bullshit will never end. Here we got a trending story. Buffalo massacre survivor recalls horror as gunman unloaded round after round in a grocery store. And he's kneeling in front, and you can see tops in the background. Just unbelievable. Meanwhile, we got our first caller today, a familiar voice, Bruce from Texas. Join the conversation, Bruce. What's on your mind?
Hey, Jim, just call me Ultra Mega Bruce.
I know I want one of those hats. Unbelievable. Yeah. They have nothing. They have nothing. If they didn't have stage shooting and phony bullshit, they would have nothing. And they've got nothing. It's a poverty of the Democrat Party. This is just disgusting. These people aren't worth a toot.
Yeah, there's always a huge manifesto that thinks to be written by the ADL or SPLC or someone.
Right.
And it always checks all the boxes, you know. And did you ever notice these shooters, these young shooters, like Dylan Roof and, you know, what's his name, is Sandy Hook, all these guys, Parkland.
Adam Lanza. Adam Lanza. Yeah.
They never get in gun battles with the police. Never.
Did you know?
You never
did
see
you know
one. Go ahead.
Did you know Adam Lanza was officially recorded as having died on the 13th, the day before the shooting, in the Social Security Death Index? Then they had to go back and change it because it would have made his feat in shooting 20 kids and 6 adults the following day all the more remarkable.
Yeah, Dylan Roof, on the day of his shooting, Hillary Clinton's personal photographer was there, wasn't she?
Isn't that amazing? Isn't that amazing? Just amazing. What a coincidence.
Yeah, you know, I haven't seen the video of this latest one in Buffalo, so I'm not going to comment on it other than saying, you know, it's already sounding sketchy. Okay, just from testimony from people who've seen it like yourself. You know, and I'm not going to say no one's died. I'm not going to say people did die. But it just sure seems sketchy, you know. It's pretty obvious. And then the same old people come out, like Jerry Nadler, you know, and Chuckie Schumer, I'm sure, and all these people, they want to take your guns. They want to disarm. Oh, but white replacement, you know, isn't happening, but it is happening. Now, how come these shooters never target an NGO that's involved in immigration or in a government office, you know, or anything, any hard targets like that, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's really strange. It's one more thing before I gotta go on hold. Do you have another call?
No, no, you're good. You're good.
Okay, I'm gonna have to go for a little bit.
Okay, you're gonna take off. That's all right. Come back if you get a chance. Not a problem. Not a problem. Let me say a few more words about this pretty terrific article on my blog, which I like a lot. The tattooed wastrels of Antifa, most of them hideously ugly middle-aged white men, have engaged in a years-long orgy of rioting, defacing, and destroying once vibrant downtowns nationwide, violently attacking and sometimes murdering innocent passerby, vandalizing public and private property, toppling statues, and throwing containers of feces. Chimpanzees are also known to throw feces, has earned Antifa the admiration of a majority of Democrat voters. Of course, Federal Bureau of Investigation Director Christopher Wray denies Antifa exists at all, which should raise eyebrows about the FBI's actual relationship with Antifa. By at least a 2-to-1 margin, Democrat voters support the silencing and censoring of anybody with whom they have ideological disagreements, that is, conservative citizens. Illiberal progressives get a dopamine rush every time they excommunicate a conservative from the public square. But like heroin junkies, progressives soon need to cancel more and more more and bigger scalps to temporarily quell their rage addiction. Wow, this is so good. Infantile Democrats are petulant killjoys screaming for their pacifiers. Yet no matter how many of their absurd demands are granted or how often conservatives surrender on any and all cultural debates, progressives just become further infuriated. Democrats always up the ante, raise the stakes, move the goalposts. Gay marriage was legalized. Now Democrats demand the right to sexually groom young children and normalize pedophilia. Maybe Princeton's professor of bioethics, Pete Sanger, can soon get official moral sanction for incest, bestiality, necrophilia, and infanticide. I'm embarrassed by Sanger. I mean, I believe in the right to research, but his views are, in my opinion, off the wall. I suppose, of course, he might say the same about my collaborative research on JFK, 9/11, and Sandy Hook. But bestiality, infanticide, incest, bit much. Per progressive. Mitchell, we're getting a lot of background. Are we good? Are we good? Mitchell, what's going on? Are we okay? Okay, we took it. All right.
Yeah, we're good, Jim. Bruce thank was you. Having some background.
Okay, we're good. Thank you. Per progressive demands, psychotropic drugs are widely legalized. Now Democrats demand that everybody take an evidently sham vaccine of unproven efficacy with known harmful side effects. If you are disobedient and refuse the vax, they threaten to take away your livelihood and socially ostracize you. It's not your body and not your choice if progressives say it's not. The southern border is deliberately left wide open to millions of destitute non-citizens, most of whom cannot speak the language. Many bring the drugs that kill 100,000 or more Americans annually, and progressive demand tens or hundreds of millions more be admitted into the country, plus the right to vote. If 80% of illegal border crossers were voting Republican upon legalization, does anyone think the left wouldn't have built a durable, impenetrable border wall decades ago? Hundreds of thousands of convicted felons are released early from prison, but wise, all-knowing progressives say it's not enough, and both the police and judicial system should be abolished. A massive national spike on homicide? Oh, that's because of COVID or Trump or Putin or insert some non sequitur of your choice. I'm glad to see Paul is back. Let's bring him in. Paul, glad to have you here. Give me your thoughts.
Well, I heard the terms Nazi, white supremacist, white nationalist so much, it just automatically dialed. It must have been like the bat signal or something.
Very, very amusing, Paul. I mean, the rhetoric has gone beyond insane. I mean, you know, if you were writing a novel, no one would believe it. It's just too incredible.
I sent Mitchell a picture by text. It's actually, I got it from I got it in the comments section of a website. It's a picture of the shooter supposedly being arrested. And he literally has on shoes that are at least three sizes too big for his body. The size of feet in human beings is pretty well understood. The taller you are, the larger your feet. It's kind of a natural balance. He literally has on clown shoes. I mean,
Paul, yeah, I love it. He literally has on clown shoes. Oh my God, is that wonderful?
Yeah, no, I mean, when you see, I sent it to Mitchell, and I'll send you by email after the show, but you can see they're long and floppy with big toes, too big for his body. But, you know, here's the thing. It would help if a lot of people, we're not going to stop the other side from using the word Nazi all the time, but it is a slur. The Germans didn't think of themselves or refer to themselves as Nazis. I made this point before. They were National Socialists. And earlier in the show, Jim, you made, you know, the statement, which I thought was good, open-minded. You said that you don't claim to be an expert on Hitler or World War II, and you're open to debate. So I would just suggest that you go and read what the man wrote himself, or you can listen to a chapter or two audiobook at a time, or you can read National Socialist literature many other people wrote at that period of time, and it's all over the web. And then also you can listen and hear translated speeches. And they're mostly accurate. I know enough German, not a lot, but a little bit of German, that I know that the translations are mostly accurate. And it's all natural stuff. It's people that want to protect and preserve their way of life. You know, an anthill is not going to allow another species of ants to come around or go into their own mound, right? You know, all animals, birds and so forth, predators, carnivores, they will protect their territory. They have a territory and they will protect it. So, yeah, we're all human, okay, I'll give you that, but we're different species of human. And it's been well written about for a very long time that these other races, in many ways, are nothing like us. And I challenge anybody to think, to even really make the case, that lots and lots of blacks and brown people is a good recipe for a stable, safe, high-trust, advanced society. Okay, you just can't do it. And, you know, there's documentaries about what's going on in Africa. I've read many travel blogs. They're quite fun and interesting, people that travel around. And there's lots of blacks in Africa that wish for the whites to return because in colonial times it was better. They had a better life. I went to school with black guys that had previously attended a mostly black high school, and they told me what it was like. I've also had black guys I didn't go to school with tell me the same thing, that they never felt so great or so safe going to a mostly white high school, because going to a mostly black high school was hell. This is in the mouths of black people that I've known and befriended over the years. So, you know, this is only going one direction. They're going to make a fight. Sooner or later, there's going to be a fight. We don't want it. It's been pushed upon us. But the average white person is being completely brainwashed right now. They're trying to turn us into Eloy, and I don't care for it.
Yeah. Well, you can certainly get my attitude. I mean, I think all this is so outrageous, it's unbelievable. And yes, I'm open-minded that the term Nazi has been grossly abused. And of course, it's been complemented by the myth of the Holocaust, where they're supposed to put to death 6 million Jews in gas chambers when they were actually labor camps, and hundreds of babies were born at the time, which is obviously inconsistent with execution. promptly upon arrival. I mean, the mythology that's been used here is just horrific, and you've heard me address this issue on more than one occasion. Tell us your thoughts about the Buffalo shooting. I mean, it's just so blatant. The clown shoes. I love it, Paul. That's just wonderful. Maybe next time they're going to bring out a car and we're going to have 6 or 8 or 10 of these white supremacist nationalists climb out of the clown car.
Well, you know, I suppose I'm just like you nowadays, right? Your default position is it's a fake or a fraud until proven otherwise. And that's the world that they have forced us to live in. I mean, we have a fake president. We have a fake election. I don't need to tell you. You're the one that's researched so many of these fakes and frauds for so long. They have forced people like us, people of higher perception and higher intellect, into a default position that everything is a lie. And I don't think that's any way we should live. I'm pretty sure you agree with that.
Oh, yeah. I'm a big truth guy. I mean, you know, the government that Obama authorized, made legal, the government lying to the American people, I find that offensive. I found that an act of treason, obviously undermining the Constitution, belief in government. If there were a recipe to destroy Americans' confidence in their own government, it's what Barack Obama did by nullifying the Smith-Mundt Act to allow stage shootings and fake events, paid actors to perpetrate these events in order to affect the political climate in the United States. Barack Obama. And believe it or not, when he was elected that day, I cried. I had tears in my eyes because I thought it was a great thing for America. And he turned out to be a bastard, just a terrible president, very destructive. And from everything I could piece together, he's behind the scene of this disinformation governance board. He's all for censorship. He's manipulating the Biden puppet, and it's literally a Biden puppet. It's not the real guy, the senator from Delaware. It's just an actor. They've got to have a monster, a teleprompter. This is why they do all their interviews, not from the Oval Office, but from a stage set, a sound stage in the executive wing, the Eisenhower. I mean, it's just absurd what's happened to the American government. It's phony from A to Z. Every aspect is fake, Paul. Every aspect.
Hey, Jim, I'm back.
Bruce is back. Yeah, go ahead. Squeeze another word in, Bruce. Yeah. Go ahead.
And how you doing, Paul?
Good. How you doing, Bruce?
I'm dealing with it, you know. Yeah, I was kind of, you know, Jim, you can kind of follow the same political parallels because, you know, John McCain, I knew about his history. I just did not want him at all. Barack Obama had a real slick advertising PR situation set up for him. I was kind of duped, too, you know. And, you know, remember it was going to be the end of racism and all that when he was inaugurated. Well, I remember watching him in Hyde Park in Chicago on his acceptance speech. And he had a grimace on his face. He had like a smug, like a look of satisfaction. And right then and there, I kind of like, oh, man, this is what I thought it was, you know. And yeah. That came out to be true. Go ahead.
I don't care that the guy's gay, that he was a homosexual hustler, that he had a tort affair with Rahm Emanuel in the bathhouses in Chicago. I don't care that he married a man who's had breast implants and a huge shaving bill. I could care less about any of that if he acted on behalf of the American people. But he has used the esteem Americans have held for him because he was the first black president. And how can a racist country elect a black president, by the way? I've had no one be able to explain that. He has betrayed the country and sabotaged the Constitution. We bestowed our highest honors upon him, and the man has betrayed us and become, just a saboteur. It's a disgusting story, and he continues to wreak his malevolent influence to this very day. Paul.
Well, my humorous response to your tears for Obama, I was not crying, but my tears would have been those of a white supremacist.
I'm sure, Paul. I'm sure.
And, It's like the famous one where they show the Indian and he's crying when he sees all the litter. That's why I would have been crying.
I get it.
Yeah, well, we all know that Obama is not, you know, the main mover. There's other forces behind the scenes. But, yeah, he's a convenient front man or boogeyman, and I don't disagree with your assessment of him.
Yeah, terrible. Yeah, Bruce, I didn't mean to cut you off. Go ahead, add a few.
Yeah, the whole Ukraine thing started under his administration, you know. And so he set the stage for what's coming up to be World War III. And, you know, Zelensky himself, there's a Dutch party is asking questions, you know, on the floor of the parliament. You know, how come Vladimir Zelensky is worth $850 million?
Yeah.
And it's like $850 million, and he's a comedian actor who became president, and he didn't have nearly that much money to become president.
Yeah.
And now we're shoveling him billions and billions of dollars. You know, it's just... Yeah, the corruption is just sky high. And as far as Paul Craig Roberts, I agree with him totally. Putin kind of went at it half-assed. You know, I understand the motives. He just wanted to secure the Donbass, create a buffer state, and then maybe negotiate. He thought that the Ukrainians would negotiate in good faith. He should have known better. He should have known that these are sharks with feet and snakes. And what he should have done was done what we did in Iraq in the first Gulf War and just go full force, you know. He should have did a blitzkrieg, take a key, push close to the Polish border, and then let's negotiate. But, you know, that's all, you know, armchair generaling, but that's how I see it.
Well, here's another development. Biden administration sending pallets of baby formula to illegal migrants at the border. Conservative media has been hammering the Biden regime over the sudden baby formula shortage in America, and rightly so. Panic mothers are having to drive hundreds of miles, go to multiple stores to find baby formula. The one thing people don't realize is the crisis was manufactured by Biden's team. The biggest baby formula processing plant in America has been shut down for months. Biden is keeping it closed. If that doesn't make your blood boil, wait till you hear the second reason the shortage is occurring. The first reason is that Biden's FDA shut down the biggest manufacturer, Abbott Laboratories, back in February after four children became sick and two died. Thought at the time that a bacterium in the Abbott baby formula was the culprit. After a three-day investigation, however, Abbott and FDA found no evidence whatsoever that the plant was the source of the bacterial infection. Yet, here we are 3 months later. And it's still shut down because the FDA refuses to reopen it. The shortage is as high as 50. Yeah, go ahead.
I was going to say, Jim, I don't need to tell you that baby formula is shit. So they're doing everybody a favor. No mother needs to give their kids something from a factory. And not that it's full of all the sugars and other stuff in there. So, I mean, there's many, many other great alternatives for baby formula, including goat's milk and cow's milk and so forth. So it's just, again.
You know, Paul,
don't women have breasts?
Yeah, well, sure, of course. And by the way, there's some.
That's a popular belief.
Yeah, there's a great show on.
Breasts, there you are. You know, I don't see what the problem is.
Not all mothers can successfully breastfeed, and some are disinclined, but I agree.
Right.
Obviously, we're a species, we're mammalians, and that comes from breastfeeding our young. Go ahead, Paul. Yeah.
Well, I was going to say there's a good show on RBN on Sundays usually. It's called Immunize Wisely, and she did a show, an hour just the other day, on all the various remedies for helping women lactate. Apparently the numbers aren't that high. Maybe it's the highest would be maybe 20% of women have a hard time breastfeeding or lactating sufficiently. But we're living in a completely poisoned, unnatural, you know, food world where people are eating far too much processed, you know, corporate crap. And so the baby formula, I'm sure you already know, Jim, but I mean, Giuseppe and other people will tell you that it's just completely unnatural and actually unhealthy.
Yeah, I believe it. I believe it, Paul. I believe it. Other thoughts.
But, But I was going to say, but that doesn't mean that it's not symptomatic of this contrived, you know, one thing to another. Let's face it, they have us bouncing back and forth all the time, fearing one thing or another, and it's all contrived, as we know.
Yes, yes, yes. I certainly agree. I mean, practically everything going on is just one fabricated event after another. The Buffalo shooting being only the latest, but far from the only. I mean, it's unreal what's taking place here. We're getting down to the wire here. Bruce, why don't you give us a short concluding statement and then Paul.
Tell me a concluding statement, but just a little slide to Paul in all friendliness. I saw the lunar eclipse last night, and it wasn't a pencil that went across the street. It looked brown to me, but maybe the Earth kind of like tilted sideways across the moon.
Well, Bruce, all I could say was there's a clip online of a professor of physics and astronomy from 1958 talking about what the moon is and what it isn't. And he was basically saying that at the time that it's a plasma. So we'll leave it at that. You know, so there's just some people that just need to do a little bit more work to understand more fully the world in which we live.
Well, Paul, I know you're humble enough to admit that when you and I have a difference in opinion, we can't preclude the other party being right and we ourselves being wrong. We're open-minded and we understand science is tentative and fallible, and with the acquisition of additional evidence and alternative hypotheses, we may have to reject beliefs we previously accepted, accept beliefs we previously rejected, and leave others in suspense. You'll be happy to know I have a guest for next Wednesday, Paul, week from the day after tomorrow, who has a new book out, and he actually, and I know you're going to warmly receive him, he has a chapter on flat Earth and another chapter on nukes, and he's skeptical about nukes, and he embraces flat Earth. So I think you're going to want to call in for a sure on that occasion.
What's his name?
He's got a new book out. I'll tell you more about it. The book is entitled A World of Lies, Collusion, and Conspiracy. His author's name is Michael Ogden. You'll be encountering him up close and personal next week.
Okay.
Bye. Thank you both for calling in and everyone else. Spend time with those you care and love, because we do not know how much time we have left. Thank you.
Thank you for listening to Revolution Radio.
Enter into a world unseen on Raven Star's Witching Hour. You will encounter eclectic topics from the realm of spirit brought into our matrix of truth. With your host, the Solaris Blue Raven, Solaris will bring you an array of unique guests covering topics from ghostly spirits to amazing anomalies, covert technology, UFOs, and shadowy global events.
That's right here at Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, Saturdays, midnight till 2 a.m. Eastern Time. Revolution Radio, where information never sleeps.
Let the magic rise.
This is Thomas, a.k.a. a Mad Painter. I'd like you to join me Monday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time for Open Canvas. Don't forget to bring an open mind.
Yes, folks, that's right. Bring an open mind to an open canvas. Again, that is Monday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern. UFOs to government corruption. This is Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. You don't need to expect us. We're already here.
We did not engage in conflict that was out of line with our mission.
Is it disloyalty? Is it treason to oppose the hands of tyranny? No!
never.
I will never send troops anywhere on a mission of that kind without telling them that if somebody shoots at them, they can darn well shoot back.
I know not what course others may take, but as for me,
give me liberty! Oh, give me death!
A dark cloud is finally lifting across the world as U.S. military intelligence...